Hello, podcast world, and welcome to the Mint Podcast. Whether this is your first time listening or the second, because this is episode 2, I'm happy you're tuning in. The Mint's mission is to raise awareness of mental health disorders and lower the stigma attached to them. On the Mint, you'll hear from real people who have real stories, who have worked to overcome a mental health disorder. It's my goal to reach the next person struggling to let them know that they are not alone, they are enough, and they are exactly where they are meant to be. On today's episode, we will be discussing postpartum depression and anxiety. I myself am not a mom, but I have a lot that surround me on a day-to-day basis. Since I announced this topic, I've had so many messages from people saying how excited they are that this is being discussed on the show. Our guest today is someone that I've known for about a year. Her smile can brighten up your day, and she is oh so positive all the time. She's an insane person in the gym and can outlive most men I know. She's a birthing doula, an awesome mom, and runs her own blog with her high school best friends called Real as a Mother. In addition to Christy being on the show, we also have her husband, Brandon, on the show to talk about how he felt during Christy's experience with PPD. It's also very important to note that anybody on this show is not a clinician. We are just real people who have gone through real mental health issues here to raise real awareness. So with that being said, welcome, Christy and Brandon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being on the show. So before we get started, I really want to know, Christy, even before your doula career, what did you know about postpartum depression? Did you know anything about it? What was your perception of it?
Well, basically, I only thought postpartum depression was like the psycho kind, where you're like, oh my gosh, I hate everyone. I'm crying all the time. And, you know, I didn't know. I never had any cause to research it, so I didn't even know that it was multifaceted, so not really a lot.
Nothing. Mm-mm. Brandon, what did you know?
About the same, didn't know much. I had heard about it, and I had just assumed it was hormonally or chemically driven, because, I mean, mm-hmm. It kind of had to be.
Right.
That's why I didn't really know much about it, though.
Yeah. Christy, so when you started doing your doula things, did that kind of change your perception of it, or had you gone through the PPD after becoming a doula? Like, what's your timeline with that?
So I became a birth doula about a year after I had Oliver, my son. Going through that training changed everything. It illuminated it, because we are trained to help couples through that and, you know, educate them about it's the realness of it and how mm-hmm. prevalent it really truly is. My personal experience with it didn't come till years after my awareness of it till years after I had Oliver.
So then it's not like, so I was under the impression that the PPD, and this is just my own ignorance, so it's not necessarily right after you give birth. It can come at any given point after you have a child.
That's my experience. I mean, I know I had the normal hormonal baby blues where you're just kind of like, oh, his diaper's wet and his feet are purple because the diaper's too tight and you're freaking out.
Yeah.
And usually that typically kind of works itself out after 6 weeks mm-hmm. postpartum, but the continuation of the baby blues is what a lot of people don't understand can happen. Gotcha. In my experience.
Gotcha. So the first few days, like, when for you did it kind of make that trickle into, okay, these are these 6 weeks, like, postpartum blues, into, like, I think I may have an issue with this?
It was actually my wonderful mother. She said, Christy, I really think you might have postpartum depression. And I don't remember what year it was, but I know Oliver was a solid probably 2 years.
Yeah, he was two.
And I just called her every day crying, and I couldn't find happiness in anything. Mm-hmm. Motherhood, marriage, home, work, nothing. Mm-hmm. And I just was like crying to her every day. She just kind of said, you need to go see someone. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think that I would have it, because I'd never really experienced depression before.
So you were, like, generally growing up, like, a relatively happy person.
Yeah.
Never had any types of issues with, like, any type
of depression.
I mean,
I think normal girl hormonal stuff when you're in puberty.
Well, yeah,
we
all
just
have that. I think
crazy.
I still have that.
Same here.
Yeah.
But the normal level of fluctuating girl stuff, but nothing that anyone raised anybody's flags.
Right. So Brandon, when, so you said Oliver was two. So when Christy started to kind of have her, you know, realization, like, wow, like, I think I have an issue. What were you, like, what was going through your head? Were you, like, relieved? Like, okay, like, this is something that we can handle. Like, we know what it is. Or were you, like, scared? Like, what were you feeling basically before, during her experience with
him? Well, when, I guess when she first was told about it, I was relieved because we had finally put our finger on it. Up until then, she had been sad and kind of...
That was Oliver.
That's our son. So she would go into bits of sadness and depression and nothing makes me happy. And then sometimes if the smallest thing would set her off, and I was, up until we figured out, or we thought we figured out what was going on, I sometimes didn't know who she was because it wasn't Christy. It was
That's just, like, not the woman you married.
Yeah. He would, it would be something like, I don't want to put my shoes on. And I mean, Christy, you'll admit it. It would set you off. And it was,
oh yeah. So that was the anxiety portion of it, which is what.
Yeah. So, but when your mom mentioned that to you, I was like, oh my God, thank you. Because now we can finally chase down something or somehow figure this out. Because at one point I remember being on the phone with you and I said, look, if I'm not making you happy anymore, we can just like separate until we figure this out.
I was in Whole Foods. I'll never forget this. And I don't think we were fighting.
No,
we were
just, fight. It was just like,
I was just like, I don't like this. I don't like that. Right. And I was checking out and Oliver was in the cart, you know, and I was walking out and I saw the text message. He goes, should we just separate for a while? And I just remember losing it, so crying it probably, in the middle of Whole Foods, like, something's wrong, oh my God.
It'd probably be safe to say then that that was kind of your turning point. That was when you realized, all right, enough is enough, like, I need to really, like, dial this in and do something about it.
Absolutely.
After he said that.
Yeah, that's, I was thinking, when are you going to realize something's wrong, like, when you lose him?
Right.
You know.
So, did you have it with Autumn, too?
Yes.
You did?
But. Mm-hmm. For the record, I wasn't suggesting separation because I was tired of you or, like, I want out. I was just like, if I'm not doing it for you.
Yeah.
Or if you were doing it, your own space.
You were being so altruistic. That's why I was like, oh, he just loves me so much. He's willing to do this. So, yeah, like,
I was willing to put our marriage on hold, I guess, until
she figured her out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't want to go anywhere. I was just like, if I got to, you know.
Well, I was pushing him away because I just was depressed and didn't think. And then there's that whole self-worth thing that happens with depression.
Right.
So, not that I'm making light of that, which I shouldn't, but
true.
It's very true.
So how, at what, not at what point, so how did you kind of, like, once you realized, you said you had that conversation with your mom, you got that text from Brandon in Whole Foods. So at what point did you kind of find, like, your niche and your, like, recovery process? Like, what did you find that you were doing that helped you? Like, what types of things did you do to help bring you out of that?
Well, I immediately went to acupuncture. Mm-hmm. I got that message pretty loud and clear in meditation one day. And I found an acupuncturist who saw me once a week. I want to say probably for a solid 8 weeks, maybe more. And then I just didn't have any more problems with it. She rebalanced my system and I believed so hard in it.
Right.
That's something that I was like, I know this is going to help me find balance.
It's like your mind over matter type of thing.
And it did. I didn't really experience any of the depression part anymore. But the anxiety still was something I was fighting with.
And I've heard once you have kids, like, you think you have anxiety now, but, like, once you have your children, like, it's through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of societal pressure, and a lot of people are, I feel like a lot of people are looking at us as parents, like, what are you going to do if your kid, you know, they're...
Well, I feel like you can't do anything right, you know? Like, well, he wanted to wear the blue shirt. Well, you need to make him wear the red shirt. Or, like, he wanted a peanut butter and jelly. Well, he needs to eat his vegetables.
No,
like,
it's not. There's you can't no have way peanut to do butter because everyone's allergic to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Then you're like, oh, I can't afford meat. Or, you know what? So there's a lot of...
Like, parenting is hard in general. Mm. I catch like, BS all the time for how I parent my dogs. Like, let alone, I can't even imagine how... just having, like, a little human would be.
Mm-hmm.
And two humans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think like, I tell people all the time I want four, but then I rethink it. I'm like, do I really want four? Mm-hmm. Do I really want to go
one at a time? Well, mostly, unless you have twins. In which case.
Yeah.
The thing is, I do think, and this is part of what our blog is about, too, is just the mom-on-mom judgment mm-hmm. is... really, really high.
Yeah. Have you had, like, bad experiences with that?
Oh,
talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I've had people say, oh, you only have one. It's not even remotely.
You're not really parenting.
You're not really parenting. You don't have three.
You don't
have I've had women judge for different sort of lifestyle choices, like whether mm-hmm. once you want to be vaccinated or not vaccinated.
Right.
And that's something that, or just any sort of light, like I want to give my kids soy milk. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter who it is. It still hurts to, just have that happen regardless of, but you know, it adds to the anxiety.
Like the mom shaming.
The mom shaming. Yeah.
It's crazy to me that happens, but I guess, you know, it's bound to happen in any type of situation, not necessarily parenting.
And, you know, the other place that I always had problem is actually at the pediatrician. Mm. That was one of the things that was really hard for us. I switched pediatricians like 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Just to have someone who would operate under my beliefs, you know. Like
the way that you wanted to.
The way I wanted to, or just talk to me about it. So anyway, long story short, the mom thing happens a lot more over social media. Just like bullying, any sort of bullying.
Right.
Is easier when you're behind a computer screen. It doesn't stop in motherhood. That's why you find people that you love and you stick there and just everyone else is whatever.
Everyone
you
know, else sucks.
Not necessarily. That's everything there is for a teaching experience.
Yes, you're
but
right.
Still.
So, Brandon, what was it like to watch her kind of, like, find her niche and, like, watch her be down, you know, in the lowest of lows and then seeing her, you know, come back up and rise above all of it?
It was hard to do at first, and then I started to, I don't want to say get used to it, but I was more acclimated, and so I would ride the highs and lows with her, and I would... give her space when she needed it. I would pick up the pieces. I would insist on her taking a walk and I'll do the dishes or mm-hmm. anything. I was able to kind of pick up on not really patterns because it wasn't like, you know, timely or whatever. It was just,
right.
I could see the train wreck before it happened. I could see what is about to piss her off. What are you doing, Oliver? You shouldn't do that. Let me go on the defense.
It's almost like you developed a sixth sense.
Sort
like
of.
When to
he
detect
learned to
it.
Speak.
I
Christy.
Learned how to husband well.
Yeah.
Now, I have to wonder, especially with you being a birthing doula and seeing this kind of thing, I would say, is it often you see this?
I see. I'm not a full-time birth doula, but I do... Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
now
the thing to understand is that it's the difference, the varying degrees of severity
right.
are what create a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you could have mild postpartum depression and you can go all the way to postpartum psychosis where you actually, you know, want to hurt your child or
right.
hurt yourself or.
But there's all different.
There's all different
too.
Things in between,
right.
all different timelines. It's not, that's why it's just so, so important.
It's like this umbrella term that
Absolutely.
Has like all of these different levels
yeah.
underneath of that umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have to know, like, are all husbands this supportive? Like, are they all like this?
I can't answer that.
Because you
only
seem
know.
To be, I mean, even, so for those that don't know, Christy and I go to the gym together. And I would say that we work out together 4 or 5 times a week,
mm-hmm.
sometimes 3, 2 if I take like a 4-hour nap, like I'm known to do. But I have to wonder, like, I just, like, I see him, he'll just, like, randomly come in and say, all right, like, I'll take the kids. You do you. And Christy's like, oh, my God, hell yeah. And then, you know, she's constantly coming in several times a week saying, like, Brandon did this or Brandon did that or we're having a great date night. Which your date night last night looked really fun,
by the way. It was fun. It was super delicious. Yeah.
You guys are, like, oyster fanatics.
Yes, we are.
Which I love because so are Jared and I. So I have to wonder, now that you've kind of found, like, your niche and you've found this positive mindset, what are things that you do on a day-to-day basis that kind of keep you going?
It's still a struggle. Mm-hmm. I do think that I have found a lot of solace in reading books and, like, learning more, mm-hmm. About, I'll say, self-help books. They are self-help books. But just learning more for me about, like, the universe and mm-hmm. learning more about I am where I'm meant to be. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And kind of letting go of any guilt.
Right.
Of past the way I might have snapped at Oliver. You know, trying to let go of that stuff every day. Mm-hmm. And just live in the moment. And as you know, some days it's way harder than others. Right. But honestly, since I had it way worse with Autumn, I really just reaching out since this blog, it's just, I don't feel so isolated anymore.
Right.
And I don't feel alone. So I just talk about it. Mm-hmm. And that helps a lot too.
Yeah.
To just be honest and just say, man, I was not the best version of myself, and that sucked. And my kids did not get a nice mom that day.
Right.
But, and just remembering that our family doesn't have to look perfect,
mm-hmm.
that really calms my anxiety.
Oh, yeah. I think that once you let go of that need to feel like you have to be perfect for everybody,
yeah.
it makes your life so much easier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, and just to give everybody, like, a visual, we're sitting in Christy's art room, and she's got, like, painting set up, and she lets her kids draw on the wall in here, which is really cool. I think that's really awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So if you were to say anything to, like, you know, a mom who, you know, has three kids, and she just feel like she can't push through day to day, what would you say?
She's doing perfectly. I would just say you're rocking it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're, that's one thing that, when you see a mom in a grocery store and she has four kids and she's not dressed and, you know, she's just, you just keep telling her she's doing an awesome job because she just is, mm-hmm. you know, life just doesn't have to look like anything other than what it is. And, you know, offer to help. You say, can I take your groceries to your car for you? Or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, paying it forward or just being kind. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did. Okay. Brandon, what would you say to a husband or a boyfriend or a significant other or a partner who may have that significant other who, you know, may be borderline or full blown into something like this? What would you say to their person?
I know that not everyone is the same. I fancy myself a very patient man.
You are very patient. Amen.
But
I don't know how he does
so
that.
Not, and I don't argue unless I'm being disrespected or I feel like so
strongly.
You're
a battle picker. You pick your battles.
Yeah, not everything's a fight. So I don't think even when you blacked out or were at your worst, you never disrespected me.
No.
Like you never called me anything other than, well, I don't know, whatever. I wasn't disrespected, so it's not a fight, so I didn't need to engage. So mm-hmm. I just let the fire burn out on its own. But to a husband or someone, I would say just support and be patient. And even if you feel like you're getting screamed at or your wife is...
Don't take it personally.
Yeah, it's nothing not personal. Right. It's not, you're not being a doormat if you don't buck back or anything. It's just be the supportive husband and just ride it out. And it's not, you weren't you.
I was going to say, I think everyone needs to understand in those moments that it's part of who you are, but it's not you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you innately want to be a happy person. So in those moments of pure anxiety, I'm not in there going, this is great. You know, I'm in there going, help,
right.
Somebody help me. get out of this.
Yeah.
Because it's awful.
Yeah.
So recognizing that, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but recognizing that in your partner and doing something together, you know, our code word is you're spinning. Because I don't want, it's like, I don't want to feel that stuff.
Right.
You know? It's okay to feel it, and it's okay that it comes up, but working through it is much better than just allowing it to go out of control.
Absolutely.
As far as anxiety goes,
yeah,
that's what I had with Autumn, right. I would say. Postpartum rage.
Absolutely. I've heard that's sometimes even worse than, like, the depression and the anxiety,
Rage
that you feel.
So, I knew anger was part of postpartum anxiety, because you just see it and the symptoms. But the flat-out blackout rage that can happen is something that I've never heard anyone talk about. And then you just think you're the worst person in the world.
Well, probably because people are afraid that, like, CPS is going to be called on or something. Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Not that you're doing anything bad, but, like, you know, if you're having these thoughts and feelings and feeling like you can't reach out for help and you can't say, like, I need help. Like,
yeah.
I need somebody to talk to me who has, like, been through this or who is some kind of professional.
Right.
But I think, and that's one of the reasons that it's important that we're doing this. I mean, the amount of messages, I would say I've gotten 23 when I counted this morning messages from moms saying, I am so happy that you are talking about this because I feel like I'm the worst mother in the world or, you know,
you're
the
not.
Worst partner in the world.
No, you're not. You just, postpartum rage stems from, in my research, from an un, not an un, that's not the word, a unrecognized.
Right.
Sense of being so overwhelmed and not being able to say that you're feeling overwhelmed.
Right.
You don't know what it is you're feeling. It's either unsupported, even though you might be supported, you don't feel that way.
Right.
You feel overwhelmed. You feel like you can't do anything right. So it comes out as this overwhelming, frustrating anxiety that for me personally, I would black out. Like he said, there would be a trigger moment and I would black out and I would come to like 5 minutes later and like they're all looking at me and like my son's crying because I'm screaming about a shoe. No matter what, I'm screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I cannot hear. It's almost like watching a movie.
Right.
When I come to, I'm like, what the hell did I just do? Like, what did I do? What did I say?
Yeah.
And the things that you can be or capable of saying, you know, it's very, very hard to come out of that and then not go right into a depression because you're like, I'm the worst mom in the world.
Yeah. Absolutely.
My kids are going to need therapy. Like, and that's okay. Like,
but
recognizing that was such a relief for me because I had just spent so many years being like, this is just part of my personality. And really, it's not.
No.
You know, I was always, my friends will tell you, I was always quick to anger as a young kid. But it was more like, you pissed me off. It wasn't like.
I feel like everybody has like their things. Like, I'm a very impulsive person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I get an idea, I'm like, ooh, I want to do that. Or like, if I want to go buy something, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think about the repercussions. I'm like,
yeah.
Screw that.
Yeah.
I do what I want when I want.
Yeah,
but then
yeah.
like, it affects me later.
Yeah.
So I think you said you have like that anger thing. Like, I think everybody has their like, their downfall.
Yeah.
Or their. My dad calls it a character defect.
Yes, my temper is a character defect, I would have to say. But learning that it can be something that either talking with your provider, huge. That's the other advice I have. Please talk to your provider. Like,
right.
And it doesn't even, it could be when your kid's 15.
Mm-hmm.
Just go back and say, hey, I think that I'm still experiencing hormonal imbalance, you know, whatever it is, just say something.
Like, help me through it.
And you know, whether it's medication, whether it's meditation, it's acupuncture, whatever
it is. It's not a one size fits all treatment.
No,
you do what you need to do.
Yeah. And it's totally okay to feel like I am the worst mother ever, because I really think that all of us have said that maybe 7 times.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe a day.
Absolutely. I say that to myself, and I'm not even a mom. Like,
you're a bad person.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Right. And you don't, you're not always going to be this patient, picturesque TV mom that we're all thinking about. When you think of a mom, you're like, oh, I just think they're patient and angelic and love their kids unconditionally. And I'm like, that is not me. You know, because I love the crap out of them, but sometimes I'm just like, I got to go for a walk.
Yeah, like, I need a me day.
I need a drive. You know, like, I know for me, going through all this, that I couldn't homeschool. Mm-hmm. Like, I just knew my limitations there.
Right.
As they say. Yeah. But I just knew that getting those children out of the house would be something that I absolutely needed for me. And not everybody's like that. So it's just kind of learning how to work the rest of your life with this, because this can change, but 9 times out of 10, unless you're medicated, you know, you're going to be dealing with some sort of anxiety or depression throughout your whole mothering life.
Right. So do you think that having your, which I think it's so cool that you, like, I'm still very close with my high school friends. Like, I was talking to them this morning. I had dinner with some of them last night. Like, we hang out a lot. I think it's really cool that you have this blog with your high school friends. So do you think that this is kind of like an outlet for you? Like,
absolutely.
Like a way to kind of, like, you know, push out into the world, like, some different, like, I read your articles all the time.
Thank you.
I'm not even a mom.
Yeah.
I love that blog.
No, thank you. It was Dr. Annie, it was her baby, and she kind of was just like, hey, I'm just going to throw this out there. Do you guys want to do this? Because we had this really awesome group text chain that we used as a lifeline. Yeah.
Dings all night
all
long.
Night, yeah. At 2 a.m. And Oliver has a fever and a rash, and she's like, you know, she's in California. So we're all in different places, but it's been our lifeline to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's given me an outlet to air my dirty laundry, so to speak. And then the feedback from airing dirty laundry is overwhelmingly supportive.
And I love the name, Real as a Mother.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It so fits your personality. Like, I met you, and then I found out about your blog, and I was like, that title is so Christy Wright.
It is so K-dubs. It was totally a group effort there, for sure.
Yeah.
We had so many different names to think about, but they have been some of the most kindest support system.
Yeah.
The most kind, whatever the grammar is there.
A great support system.
Great support system. You know, as far as, hey, getting me to write, because I love to write.
Mm-hmm.
And just having that outlet has just, for me, just felt so, so good to just say, hey, man, I'm not perfect, and this is what you can do if you feel the same way as me, you know?
Right.
So.
And for those wondering, I will post links to their Facebook, their Instagram, their website in the show notes and on the Mint's Facebook page and Instagram page, so anybody curious can go and look through the blog. I really encourage it. It's a great blog. They have I think the most recent article that I read, you were talking about things to do when you're about to have a child, like what to expect during, what to expect after, like what you need to have. And like, so Jared and I started talking about having kids, like, after we get married, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, well, I need to start mentally preparing myself for this now. Like, I'm going to go to Christy's blog. And I found that post, and I was like, thank God I have her in my life.
Yay!
Like, I know what
Annie.
I need.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Annie?
Yeah. She's the pregnant MD. She's a very super informative friend to have. So, yeah, I'm glad that helped you.
Yeah.
I'll let her know.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Well, hopefully she's listening. Annie, you go, girl.
Yeah.
You're my rock during that hour. So I think that from here on out with this podcast, what I'm going to do at the end of every episode is give somebody a challenge. And I've decided that the three of us, or whoever I'm interviewing, is going to give somebody who's listening to this some type of like challenge to do for that day. So my challenge for anybody who's listening right now is reach out to a new mom, a middle-aged mom, or an old mom and just say, hey, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you?
You'd be so surprised how far that goes.
Yeah, like, can I help you with anything? Do you need a date night? I'll babysit. Like, do you need dinner? I'll make you dinner. Just ask how they're doing. I think that that would be my challenge for all of you. So I'm going to popcorn that to you, Christy. What's your challenge for your listeners?
I would say one thing to a friend that you have been hiding. Like, if some sort of feeling, like, that you think, if you think that your dirty laundry is not okay to be aired, you know, confide in someone. Mm-hmm. Say one thing that's hard to say to a friend, no matter what it is, about being a mom, about being a better person, a worse person, whatever. I would say find that one person that you can confide in and challenge yourself to tell them something hard and just see how it makes you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels pretty dang good.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's very needed. Brandon, what's your... You're the dude in the house tonight.
So, the
other than Archie, my cat.
I would say taking over to your comment, Mary Page, that for, and I only know this, or I think I know it, listening to Christy, but for moms out in public, it would be, you always love hearing when you're doing a good job. It kind of reinforces you. Mm-hmm. So I guess to the mom who's struggling at the grocery store and can't get her crap together, if you see her, just say, you're kicking ass.
Exactly.
You don't, yeah. The mom judgment, I'm not a mom and I'm not a woman, but I see it and it sucks. Mm-hmm. And I deal sometimes with the aftermath when you're broken up about something that you feel judged about when it's not necessarily even happening. But some of it does happen. Some of it is just perceived. But mm-hmm. to, I think the men, the fathers, the husbands, the boyfriends, just
partners.
Okay. Partners. support the mother as far as, you know, what can I do around the house? Do you need me to do anything else? Ask for honesty. So for the moms who just insist on keeping the image of I can do everything, if you can't, then you need to say something to the guy so that he can know he can't read your mind. So he knows that I'm going to do the dishes tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was a thing. Or if you want me to vacuum, you should have told me. Or something. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a chore. It could be anything. Taking the kids, whatever. Mm-hmm. Helping in the mornings. I don't know. But
pick one thing. Yeah, pick one thing and
just
do that.
Do it without asking.
Do it
just,
without
yeah.
having
and
to.
Yeah. Know, yeah. know when to walk away. So if she is having a fit of rage or depression, or no one to walk away, no one to stay. And if you don't know, then ask and find out and figure it out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to do. I
that's
mean, it takes,
that's a lot easier said than done.
I know.
You're putting a challenge out
it
there,
takes,
babe.
A lot of time to figure
these
it out.
These poor men are going to be like, do I do it? Do I not do it? Mm. What do I do?
I would
Brandon!
Say, Brandon!
I'm not an expert. I just know, I think I know Christy very well.
You
yes.
do.
Yes.
He speaks fluent
and,
Christy.
And that's another thing. You can almost even say, just trust your relationship and trust that you
yeah.
know your significant other.
Mm-hmm. And I always say, communicate. In our prenatal sessions, when we talk about postnatal and postpartum, I always say, no matter what you're thinking, you need to be honest about it and say it. Because
mm-hmm.
letting it fester is what creates a monster that probably 9 times out of 10 could have just been nipped in the bud.
Right.
If you just said, it really pisses me off that you leave your socks on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even matter. And that's something that the partner can do. Oh,
right.
Well, if that's going to go and create this monster, then I'm going to pick my socks up off the floor. It's yeah. not worth it. But like, holding that in, and I guess that's what my challenge is kind of about, is if you're holding something in, your partner, this, you know, just say it.
Yeah, just get
it
out.
Air
Don't
it.
Let it eat away at you.
Yes, and just communicate, because that is going to air out all of the emotions at first, and then you can figure out,
mm-hmm.
get the emotions out of the way so you can figure out
right.
what to do.
Right. So just to kind of bring it all back full circle, the three challenges are: the first one, say it, don't keep it in. Give your spouse help. Just like do a dish, clean a toilet, clean the bathroom, mop the floor. Jared, if you're listening, clean the bathroom. Just kidding.
Sorry, dude.
Love you. And then, what was, I can't even remember my own.
Yours was,
ask a mom ask how she's mom doing. How she's That's doing. What it was. Ask a mom how she's doing. Check out the Real as a Mother blog. Like I said, I'll post it up everywhere that you follow. Christy and Brandon, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
I hope I hope we helped.
Well, I'm sure you, if, like I always say, if you can at least reach one person, that we've definitely done our job. Next week, I am interviewing a person that I went to high school with. His name is Jacob Smith, and we will be talking about his struggles growing up with ADHD, how he overcame them, and how he kind of learned to be this kick-ass businessman with it. You may know him, you may not, but he's a very eclectic, vibrant person, so I'm really excited to have him on. Again, you are very important, you are loved, and you are exactly where you are meant to be. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.